But anyway, regardless if I'm going to be in the finals or not, the Wimbledon final will take place. And so will the World Cup final. I'm more concerned that the World Cup final will have issues because of the Wimbledon final is going on. Because they'll heal all every point. Wow, oh my God, love 15. 15:30. And then the players are going to look up in the crowd and don't understand what's going on in Wimbledon. So that's how important Wimbledon is to me and to us over here. Maybe you should ask the questions over in Russia, how they're going to feel about Wimbledon being played at the same time.
Well, there he is, Roger Federer, being asked about going up against the World Cup final. He's not too concerned. He believes whoever's playing, plenty of people will want to watch the final. But a man that knows all about tennis, and he's over there in London at the moment, is our expert, Roger Rashid. Good morning, Rog.
Hey, good morning, boys. Yeah, that was the press room had a bit of a laugh there, but you know, part of that I think was, you know, a little bit, so Roger was saying, hey, well, we've got a, you know, he loves the World Cup, but you know, we got a prestigious event. It's our most prestigious event on the, you know, and people watch it, and we don't necessarily move. I mean, and I don't mind that. Wimbledon definitely will not move. I know the way their policies are. They're very strong about their championships and what it stands for and the history of it. So I can't see if there was any push to move. I mean, we'll know more if England do get in tomorrow. And you know, we had a good semi final there with France, and all the French tennis players are going bananas at the moment. So with that win, but yeah, we'll see what happens there.
You shouldn't take it as a slight on your sport if you've got a World Cup final on, you've got to move an event. I mean, the idea of any administrator should be
people watching.
You want the most people watching your particular event as possible. It's not about, we've done it this way for 300 years, so bugger them, right? So for Wimbledon
it's not exactly the same time, TK. It's not starting at the same time. So it would just... There'd be a slight, you know, there probably looks like there'd be an overlap. But, hey, just in saying that, the World Cup's every 4 years. They know that Wimbledon's on, and the Wimbledon's on at that time. Do you reckon they could have positioned it a bit later?
Yeah.
Or not?
They wouldn't give a rat's, though, Rog, no, would
it's,
they?
It's the biggest show on earth, mate.
No, yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about Serena Williams, mate. We mentioned her earlier. A little bit of a scare. She's got plenty of game, hasn't she, Camilla Giorgi?
Yeah, she has. Look, she's a little pocket rocket. She's probably the size, you know, she's the size of half the size of Serena. But she's fast, which she offers a big blow. She's competitive. She steps up on the court, takes the ball on, takes her opponent on, really goes to business, plays quite quick. A sneaky fast serve for a slight... slight woman, and you know, I always thought that was going to be an uncomfortable tennis match for Serena. And for the first time, I thought, which was good, was, you know, and I don't see a lot from the women, is people trying to exploit the movement of Serena. It's probably not her biggest strength, even though it's good movement. It's not outstanding movement. So that was tried to be exploited. They got success in the first set, and then Serena just stayed the course. And eventually just overpowered her opponent. And, you know, that weight of shot, her ability to control the point at certain times, and also her natural firepower with her serve as well, getting some free points and getting access to the balls returned with no real speed on them is a telling point. But in saying that, a big turn in the shift of Serena, for her to be able to come back from that, from a set down, be challenged pretty heavily, and then actually bounce back and run away with that, I thought that was... That's just put her really up the top as a clear favourite for mine going through for the championships.
Ostapenko defeated Sybil Kova in two sets. Is she a hope at all?
Yeah, she is, for sure, mate. I mean, big hitter of the tennis ball. You know, she can take the racket out of your hand up the other end. First strike tennis, hits the ball heavier than someone like Camilla Giorgi, and you know, I thought that was writing on the wall for Sybil Kova. Ostapenko, she plays secure tennis. It's normally a lot of low percentage stuff, but if she secures her game up and plays within the lines a little bit, her shots are big enough as they stand. So that match versus Kerber, Kerber's a very much an negating player. She got through, but I wasn't impressed by the way she got through. It was more of a negating tennis match instead of a proactive tennis match. And I feel like if she doesn't play proactive tennis and wait for her opponent to make mistakes, yeah, she might get the results, but it's not going to be the way forward in the semi-finals. So Ostapenko is a big chance. I'd actually love her to get through, the youth of Ostapenko, taking on the strength probably of Serena, who will get through on that half. And then it would be a matter of whether she can hold her nerve. But she's a Grand Slam champion. She won at the French Open. So that means, you know, she's got something a little special about her.
They're pretty one-sided, mate. Djokovic has got the mojo back up against Nishikori, $1.12 at tab.com.au. The most to Del Potro, $3.20 against Rafael Nadal, $1.34. Can you see any upsets anywhere?
Yeah, look, well, first of all, Roger gets on. Novak's got the nod from the All England Club. They take centre stage on centre court, that half of the draw. Novak, Nishikori, Del Potro, Nadal versus Roger, who's actually going to venture out on the court one. So I'm not sure the last time Roger would have been on court one at a quarter final stage of Wimbledon. But anyway, it is what it is. The Del Potro Nadal is interesting because Nadal's got the court that he likes. Del Potro's got the firepower that Nadal doesn't necessarily like. So you know, Del Potro looked sluggish in the set that he had to go out and win today against Jill Simon. In fact, Simon had real opportunities. He let a break in that set as well early, and I didn't like what I was watching from Del Potro as far as the body language. He was sort of slouched over, but he gave a big roar at the end. He was pretty pumped at the end of that. So he'll be a different beast against Nadal. I'm leaning Nadal just because.
Okay.
I just think he's too much of a beast at this stage of the tournament. But it wouldn't surprise me. Look, it wouldn't surprise me if Del Potro beats him over a period of time, but it'll have to be, I think it's a 4 or 5 set match to do that. But that, you know, it won't be a surprising wow result.
One word answer, mate. Raonic, $1.70 up against Isner, $2.10.
Isner.
There you go.
Isner.
2.10.
That's about how quick their points are going to be as well.
They're two big servers, aren't they? So that they're going to go head to head. It'll be a real duel of the big servers there with Raonic, $1.70 up against Isner, $2.10. Thanks, Rog.
See you, boys. Have a good day.